Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in another week on the Hoosier Report here on the Big X. So glad to have you with us, and lots of reasons to get excited this week, lots of reasons to listen every day this week. College basketball practices, they officially can begin tomorrow on Tuesday, September 25th, which means we are really getting closer. I know I've been saying we're getting closer, but we're really getting closer now to the start of basketball, especially college basketball. IU basketball has a media day set for later this week on Wednesday. It'll be an opportunity to hear from Archie Miller, to hear from some of the players as well, which we haven't for a while, especially over the offseason. That will be fun and kind of be a primer for Hoosier Hysteria, which is on Saturday afternoon. And there's tons of stuff going on, even on the basketball side this week. It's just going to be a fun week to follow both basketball and football. Of course, Hoosier Hysteria. I ran into so many people just this weekend alone out and about that, hey, can't wait to go to Hoosier Hysteria. Never been, but not going to miss it with Romeo there. Lots of different comments, and I think you will just see a flood of people in Bloomington on Saturday afternoon. Some that may hit it every year, some that may have never been for years, or maybe never at all before. A lot of it to do with excitement around Romeo and just generally excitement around the program with Juwan Morgan back and other key players back and a lot of excitement about what this Indiana team could do if they could put it all together. So Saturday will be fun. There's no question about it. Leading up to that will be fun. Always enjoy hearing from Archie Miller. We talked about this some when he did that podcast with John Rothstein a few weeks ago. It was like a 15-minute clip, maybe. He answered, you know, 7-8 questions pretty in-depth, and that was pretty much it. And we don't get a chance to hear from him. There are some coaches, including former IU coaches, that they would tweet all the time. They would talk to the media all the time. They would have press conferences all the time, even in the off season, just to give updates and things like that. Fans appreciate that stuff to a certain point. Media definitely appreciates it to a certain point because it gives them stuff to write about and cover. But Archie Miller is not that way. He's more quiet, more reserved. He has the press conferences during the season. He has the post-game press conferences. And, of course, when there's news that warrants it, he'll have a press conference at any time. But we'll get a chance this week in the media day, as it's labeled, to hear from him and I'm sure some other coaches and players as they really begin to dig in after off-season workouts. They get time to work with players a certain number of hours a week, whether it's a team or individual setting. And, of course, Tuesday is the official day when they can start the allotted practices, which means the hours, the ability for them to have hands-on work with players and teams goes up greatly then. But that starts tomorrow, and, of course, the week will just be busy with all that coming together Saturday for Hoosier Hysteria. Also, IU football loses on Saturday. There were some bad moments in the game, no question about it, for IU football. They've generally started the season pretty positive. They didn't look great their first game out, as you wouldn't expect really anyone to against Florida International. It was on the road, first game of the season. But since then, and they were able to win that game, since then they, I think, have made improvements each and every week. Of course, with those improvements have come some victories as they were 3-0 headed into Saturday night's game. Saturday night, different story. A lot of problems. Hoosiers, I thought, were en route to getting blown out early on. They were able to come back, kick a field goal late. If they could have held Michigan State instead of letting them score a big crushing touchdown there in the final minute, 2 minutes or so of the game, maybe would have had an opportunity to have a really exciting finish. to see if they could get a touchdown across, a score across, to tie it up there in regulation. But that's not the plan. They fall 35-21, the final score. IU football falls to 3-1 overall. They will play Rutgers next week. And just as everybody hyped up the Michigan State game about what a big game it is and could be for this Indiana team as they try not only to get bowl eligible, but to take some steps beyond the minimum bowl eligibility win mark this season. I think the Rutgers game is just as big in a whole nother sense of things. It's on the road. It's a Rutgers team that is not happy with the start of their season. It's a Rutgers team I don't think that's terrible, and they're obviously going to be ready to play, you would sure expect. So I think IU will get challenged on the road, and this will be a big one for them because they really need to win this game to keep the hopes alive for a bowl. And I think the hopes for a bowl are very much alive. And in fact, I'd be very surprised if Indiana ultimately doesn't get bowl eligible and get to a bowl game. But that said, you don't want to go up there and lose a lot of momentum and then have to struggle and get into some 50-50 games later on in the season where you're not sure if you can win it going into it. Your bowl eligibility riding on that. So will be interesting to see. I think it'll be a very curious game. I'll sure be to see for IU what happens on the road and what happens with the quarterback situation. Do they continue to stick with Peyton Ramsey as the starter? And I think they will, but do they continue to stick with him for the majority of the snaps, all the snaps like they have for the most part? Or will we see Michael Penix in a game like Rutgers maybe get some more opportunity to show what he can do? Or is he still being planned, I should say, for a red shirt, which means they've got to watch the number of games that he plays in this season. So a lot of things to watch with that game as well. Welcome into the program. Quickly, I want to set the guest lineup for the hour. The guest lineup is presented by Honey Baked Ham. Segment one, I'll have Hoosier headlines, which are the news of the day. We'll also have our game balls for Friday night of high school football, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Then segment two, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star is with us. Zach is the IU insider for the Star. He joins us Monday to recap IU football. We're going to squeeze some basketball in with him as well on a big week for hoops gearing up also. And later in the show, Chad Gilbert, the Charlestown Athletic Director and IHSAA Executive Board member, he will join me as well. We'll talk through some Southern Indiana sports headlines. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. A couple things to get to as far as the start of the college basketball season, getting ready to take shape. Street and Smith's, another one of the preview magazines out now, and we knew Juwan Morgan would be on the cover of that magazine. We now know, and I've went through this for all the publications, we now know where they see Indiana for the upcoming season. They predict the order of finish in the Big Ten as follows: Michigan State, Michigan, Nebraska, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Indiana 6th, Purdue 7th. I'll stop there, but they have Indiana projected as 6th in the conference. A lot of these magazines have Indiana projected higher than where maybe some of the guys that are the analysts that are covering this stuff on a routine basis have them 4 or 5, maybe as high as 3 in some cases. So interesting to see that a lot of these magazines pretty much have the same order of finish with Indiana somewhere in that 6 hole for the Big Ten Conference. Also, they have the Hoosiers not ranked in the top 25, their preseason poll. Michigan State is number 12. Michigan is number 17. And again, Indiana not ranked in that at all. They also do list Romeo Langford as the nation's number 4 impact freshman. And he also was on the 5-man Big Ten all-newcomer team. No surprise there for either of those Romeo Langford mentions in Street and Smith magazine. But again, another magazine with Indiana projected to finish a little farther back than what I think that they have the opportunity to. Obviously, a lot will have to be figured out early on and maybe get a better read once we get into the season. But for a preseason prediction, I like the Hoosiers better than 6th in the conference. We'll see how things shake out, obviously. Also, another feature that has been really fun to watch unwind, and we'll talk with Alex about this some later in the week when he joins us, but InsideTheHall.com and UM Hoops, which does a great job covering Michigan. Each year they partner to give a preseason breakdown of the top 25 players in the Big Ten for the upcoming season. They work down from 25 to 21, 20 to 16, 15 to 11, 10 to 6, and just recently came out with players number 5 down to number 1. So Cassius Winston, they have him at the 5 spot from Michigan State, 6-foot guard. He's a junior. Jawan Morgan at number 4 as far as top players heading into this 18-19 Big Ten season, 6'8" forward, senior center, or forward, I should say, obviously from Indiana. Also, the 3 spot, Carson Edwards of Purdue. He's gotten a lot of love across the conference and across college basketball heading into this season by some of the preseason lists out there. And Ethan Happ, number 1 from Wisconsin, 6'10" forward. He's a redshirt senior. That's 5 through 1 in their rankings of the top Big Ten players returning for the 18-19 college basketball season. Other note, NBC Sports, they had their preseason top 25. Indiana not in the top 25. Indiana was, however, listed in the teams to watch, just missed the list, whatever that category was named. Indiana was there. They've been anywhere from 20 to 25 or on that list of teams that just missed the top 25. So that's where NBC Sports does or doesn't have, I should say, Indiana in its top 25 for the upcoming season. A couple other headlines. Headline 3 is about Ethan Morton. He took an official visit to Indiana over the weekend. He's from Pennsylvania, has some connections to Archie Miller's home territory. He's the first player that was offered by Indiana in this 2020 class of current juniors a number of months ago. And, of course, it's hard to get used to. You hear a junior, you hear an underclassman taking an official visit to Indiana. There's a new rule that allows players to take official visits now during their junior and senior years. Of course, the rule always has been in a player's senior year, they get 5 official visits. They are allowed considerably more than that now to be spread out over their junior and senior year. So Ethan Morton taking advantage of the new rule. He was snapped on camera with Archie, with some of the other coaches, Ed Schilling, at the IU football game on Saturday night against Michigan State. He's got a lot of offers. Some of these are pretty recent. IU, Butler, Northwestern, Vanderbilt, Oregon, Marquette, Creighton, and more. He's got an official visit scheduled to Purdue at some point later this fall, and he's got other offers too. So he's definitely a player that's on the rise, definitely a player that a lot of programs are trying to build that relationship with as he heads into his junior year of high school basketball. But interesting to see him on the IU campus early for an official visit. Of course, he could return for another visit during his senior year if he continues to keep Indiana is one of his considerations in his recruiting. But you got to wonder, this is kind of Archie Miller's guy. He's from his state. He's from back in the area where the Miller family, some of them still reside. So it'll be curious to see if Indiana actually goes on to prevail in their recruitment of Ethan Morton. Next headline, Romeo Langford was at the Bloomington North New Albany football game on Friday night. One of my buddies sent me a message during the game and was telling me that in typical Romeo Langford fashion, he was standing over by the New Albany side of things, and he of course, was, and I'm sure not just New Albany, but Bloomington North fans as well, but was being asked for a few autographs here and there. He was had people going down to talk to him, I'm sure wishing well for the upcoming season at Indiana. And the person said when they came back from halftime to go back to their seat, he was out throwing football with kids, a Nerf football, just tossing it around back and forth. It started with a couple kids wanting to throw with Romeo and ended with a lot more than that. And, of course, if you follow this kid in his high school career and saw how he interacted with kids and fans, that would be no surprise to you. But he's at Bloomington North there to support his former Bulldogs playing football, even though it didn't go the Bulldogs' way on Friday night, and throwing some football with the youngsters. I thought that was a note you might enjoy. Also, our game balls from high school football on Friday night. Week 6 is now in the book. We are headed to the backside of the season. And, of course, sectional drawings will be out in a couple weeks, followed by the actual sectionals themselves a few weeks after that. So things will really get interesting the rest of the way. Some of our top performers that we like to highlight coming out of the weekend for their stats and their ability to perform on the field. Devin Gummer of New Albany, he's one. He had 7 receptions, 106 yards, and a touchdown. The quarterback from Silver Creek, Josh Landers, he gets a game ball this week. 118 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns, through 94 yards passing for a touchdown that way as well. Marion Lukes of Charlestown, he continues most games to put up some absolutely huge, huge rushing numbers. He had 308 yards for Charlestown over the weekend in their game against Scottsburg. He had 4 touchdowns to go with that 308 rushing yards. And Chasten O'Neill from Clarksville, 131 yards passing for a touchdown, 106 yards rushing for 2 touchdowns. The QB from Clarksville really has Clarksville playing a lot better this season. They still haven't recorded a win. They're still on a terrible streak as far as numbers of losses in a row. But football, I think it's safe to say, is improving for the Generals. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head out to a commercial break. We'll come back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We'll break down IU's loss to Michigan State. Not a good start, really not a good finish for IU football either, as they fall to 3-1 on the season. We'll talk about that. The next game against Rutgers, IU basketball activities coming up this week with practices starting tomorrow, with media day set for Wednesday, and of course Hoosier Hysteria scheduled for Saturday. We'll cover all of that and more with Zach Osterman after this on a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back and have the opportunity to hear from Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Zach is the beat writer covering IU athletics for the Star, and he's with us Mondays here on the program. Zach, we've had the opportunity the previous 3 Mondays to really talk some positives about IU football as the team, I feel like, each and every week improved, which set up a big opportunity to go 4-0 in a matchup Saturday night with Michigan State. Obviously, Michigan State on another caliber as far as opponents and talented opponents goes, and things didn't go exactly the way Indiana hoped them, really, from the very get-go. Still some things, I think, to be confident in about this IU team moving forward through Big Ten play now with Rutgers the next opponent, but obviously some things did not go well at Indiana at some key times on Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, I think there were some key times defensively. I mean, I think Indiana's overall defensive performance maybe is one that you could point to more positives than negatives, but when you point to, you know, those key moments, you can still find some real causes for frustration, the fake field goal that's a touchdown, the 3rd and 17 on Michigan State's first touchdown drive that's allowed to be converted over 2 plays when, frankly, that drive should never have even gotten near the end zone, much less in it. And then, obviously, that 75-yard speed sweep right after Indiana had brought it within a touchdown to effectively sort of seal the game, take the wind finally out of Indiana's comeback. Offensively, I don't think it was moments. I think it was 4 quarters. I think it was just – I mean, I think it was a roundly bad day for Indiana's offense, bad night, I suppose. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't protect Peyton Ramsey. He was accurate, but, you know, I don't want to say by himself because I think there were other individuals who played well, but Ramsey wasn't really able to kind of haul the offense back together on his own. And again, you know, there were a few positives. Indiana got Watt Filior going. We'd kind of wondered if or when he'd be, you know, get a larger role in the offense over the first few weeks of the season. But I think the biggest concern is probably that offensive line is supposed to be and is the strength of Indiana's offense. and just quite frankly, it was dominated on Saturday night. I don't think that's hyperbole. I don't think that's too strong of a word. And Michigan State is, you know, perhaps elite in the front seven. You know, they've got issues elsewhere, but their defensive front seven is one of the best in the country. So Indiana knew the task in front of it, but Indiana, you know, ultimately failed to kind of measure up to that task, and it winds up being a really frustrating evening.
Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star with us. We're starting with IU Michigan State. Obviously, things did not go well for Indiana as they fall now to 3-1 on the season. With your comment about the offense, and I agree, really, it wasn't moments. It was four quarters of issues and situations that were not good, I guess, to say the easiest. With that said, do you think, maybe, that this will open up some time for Penix to get more snaps, or do you think Ramsey will continue to be the not only starting quarterback but also the one in there for the majority, if not all, the game, as we've seen in some of the games this year?
You know, I mean, it's really tough to know, and I don't think Tom Allen is just going to – maybe I'll be wrong. I mean, we talked to him at about noon today. I'm sure Penix will come up. I doubt Tom Allen is just going to flatly tell us one way or the other whether, you know, Indiana wants to play Penix all year or try to preserve that red shirt. He's only appeared in two of Indiana's four games thus far. I certainly didn't think Saturday night was the right venue for him. And, you know, Michael Penix is probably a little bit faster than Peyton Ramsey in terms of just open field speed. He's also probably got a stronger arm. Although I thought some of his cameo against Ball State 2 weeks ago suggested he's not quite as advanced. And this isn't surprising, but he's not quite as advanced. You know, reading defenses, checking down, you know, going through his progressions really, really sort of efficiently and effectively. And none of that, again, none of that should be surprising. He's a true freshman quarterback. You know, the people who were kind of crying for Penix against Michigan State when Peyton Ramsey got sacked four times, you know, hit a handful more, was on the run a lot, rarely, if ever, had a firmly established pocket. There was no run game to speak of. And what really struck me about kind of the calls for Penix was the calls for Penix were, you know, in a parallel way, calls for Indiana to be more vertical in its passing game. But if you want to be vertical in your passing game, you have to protect the quarterback longer. I mean, you know, just physically play to play, you have to block for an extra second to 2 seconds, sometimes even 3 seconds, if you really want to go downfield and let downfield routes develop. Indiana couldn't do that. And if anything, I think that Saturday night's game, in the end, for better or worse, was probably geared more toward Peyton Ramsey's strength, which is the short and intermediate throws and the ability, timing routes and things like that, the ability to get the ball out quickly. Because Indiana couldn't run the game, so it kind of had to turn to screens and crossing patterns and things like that. So, you know, very, very fast developing routes just to try and keep the offense moving forward and on schedule. Obviously, not everybody's Michigan State. So if you do want to get Michael Penix more snaps, you know, to your point, this weekend at Rutgers seems like a better opportunity for that than Michigan State ever really would have. I'm just not completely convinced that Indiana is giving up the ghost on preserving that red shirt for Michael Penix. And I would certainly understand if they didn't want to, because, and I've said this many times before, as promising as true freshman Michael Penix might be, imagine just how good redshirt senior Michael Penix could be. And I don't think that just because you get a really good young player means you have to play them all the time. It's okay sometimes to sit on a young player. Indiana did it, for example, with Rashard Fant, who winds up becoming, I would say, probably one of the best cornerbacks in program history. He's given a year to redshirt and develop physically. Then he plays as basically Indiana's nickel corner for a season. Then he's a starter for 3 years. I don't think there's anything wrong with protecting Penix in that way, and I certainly didn't think that Saturday night was the stage to be sort of putting him in, hoping he could change the game. If they do want to get him more snaps, yeah, next weekend or this coming weekend at Rutgers would make more sense in that regard. I just don't know yet if I'm convinced Indiana's going to throw away the red shirt here.
We're talking IU football. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, who joins us each Monday on the show. You know, with all the negative that could be said about Saturday night's loss to Michigan State, final score 35-21, I guess it was with about 3.5 minutes left, Indiana was able to kick a field goal that cut the Michigan State lead to 7. And obviously, if they could have gotten a stop, maybe an opportunity to make it at least very exciting at the end of the game if they could have put a scoring drive together, despite how bad that they played pretty much throughout the contest. That said, Michigan State gets the ball back after the field goal. They go on to run a big play to score a touchdown, and that makes it the final margin and obviously clearly ends the game. So the score really, at least the final score, maybe a little closer than what I thought it might be given how the first half of play went.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's maybe to some degree the difference between – I mean, I think it's a credit to Indiana that Indiana really looked like it was rocked back on its heels and maybe in danger of just falling over at 14-0 when Ramsey has the interception return for the touchdown. That was a real gut punch that it clearly took Indiana a while to recover from. But still, I think it's to Indiana's credit that that didn't just sort of that the game didn't just spiral out of hand at that point. I think it's probably also to some degree, you know, maybe a little bit more of the existential question of whether or not at a place like Indiana you want an offensive head coach as opposed to a defensive head coach. What I mean by that is I think a defensive head coach is going to keep you in a game, even a game where maybe you're struggling a little bit more reliably and a little bit more often because, I mean, it's as simple as points aren't going up on the board. And so even if, for example, your offense is struggling, if you can keep their offense from really getting into gear, and I think Indiana did that. I don't know how much sort of sustained rhythm Michigan State had. I know they scored 28 points offensively. I'm not saying that Indiana played perfect on defense, but I don't know how often you could really say Michigan State looked like they were just in an absolute groove over multiple drives. I think that having a defense first head coach, if he can do his job, obviously, is going to keep games closer. Whereas you have an offense first head coach, if that offense gets shut down, and Indiana's seen this, you know, to some degree with Kevin Wilson, but I'm thinking even back to Bill Lynch's time, and I'm not here to pick on Bill, please understand. But if your offense doesn't work, and that's the thing that you're hoping can keep you in a game against a better team, it can get out of hand kind of quick. And so I think from Indiana's perspective, you at least have to credit a defensive performance, 4 turnovers forced, 3 sacks, a season low in rushing yards allowed, which maybe isn't a huge surprise because Michigan State's without L.J. Scott, who warmed up but didn't play. But for keeping that game from getting out of hand, for giving Indiana a chance, and if you're Tom Allen and you're trying to spend some of these positives forward, I think what you probably say is, listen, not every defense is going to be as tough as Michigan State, but there are going to be times this season where our offense can't get going, where we need we need you guys to just hold the fort, I guess, basically for 10-15 minutes. And you did that. You've done that for us, even in games where we lost. You've also done that for us in games that we won. We're going to need that against lesser opponents. And if you can take that same intensity and that same sharpness and focus into a game against a team that's not quite as good as Michigan State, then you can be the difference between us losing or us, you know, again, staying on our feet long enough, proverbially speaking, to get the offense going again and getting some points on the board and winning a game. And so if you're trying to take some positives away, I think that's one of them. I don't think Tom Allen's necessarily going to be looking for a ton of rainbows after a game like that, but he's going to want there to be positives and teaching moments, and I think that's probably one.
Zach Ostrom, an Indianapolis Star guest, good stuff on IU football. Before we transition to basketball for a moment, Rutgers coming up next weekend. Your early thoughts on IU's next opponent?
Well, I mean, quite frankly, this is a game Indiana can't afford to lose. And, you know, I don't know if anybody saw Rutgers over the weekend. They played Buffalo at home. They were down 29 points at halftime. They lost by 29. So essentially, you know, they only lost at home by 4 scores plus a 2-point conversion, basically, to a MAC team because the MAC team kind of took its foot off the gas pedal in the second half and just sort of soft-pedaled its way through the last 2 quarters. This is a Rutgers team that's struggling right now, you know, and I think if you're Indiana, I've said this for a while, basically since the Big Ten reorganized divisionally, you've got to find a way to make sure that annually you are clearly a level above Rutgers and most years clearly a level above Maryland as well. And we'll see Indiana play Maryland in November, and that's kind of a hard matchup to predict right now because of everything that's going on in College Park. But this is, if you're Indiana, a chance to win, I think, your third straight against Rutgers, your second straight in Piscataway. It's a Rutgers team that just, quite frankly, does not look good at all right now. And this is the kind of game that if you're Indiana, you just there's games that you can win or lose this season that won't affect your bowl hopes, or at least you can afford to lose like an Iowa at home or a Michigan State at home and still have realistic dreams of going to a bowl. You can't lose a game like this. And obviously Rutgers is going to be smarting after last week. They're going to be at home. They're going to want to turn things around after a couple of tough weeks. They also lost at Kansas recently. But if you're Indiana, you just cannot afford to lose this game if you want to retain any hope of going to the postseason.
Yeah, absolutely. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star with us Mondays. Always good to have him Mondays right out of the gate to recap the football games throughout the fall and the rest of the football season. I do want to catch a couple basketball things with you. You know, we're still a little ways away from the season, but we're getting closer, and that's good news. However, college basketball practices officially begin tomorrow on Tuesday the 25th. IU has a media day scheduled, which will be the first time in a while that we'll hear directly from Archie Miller, and I'm sure some players will be made available as well in preview of the upcoming season. And, of course, Hoosier Hysteria is on Saturday. So we've got plenty of recruiting stuff to talk about. There's always things with the program at the magnitude of IU, with the fan support that IU has to talk about, but we'll really have some activities to cover and follow for listeners, for your readers, this coming week.
Yeah, I mean, it really is that time of year, and I don't mean to be flippant about it. You know, there was kind of a feeling, too, that Michigan State game was a chance for football to kind of stay front and center with Indiana fans for the next, you know, few weeks at least, and maybe that was an opportunity a little bit lost, and we'll see kind of how the season develops over the next 3 or 4 weeks, but it's a really early Hoosier Hysteria. I don't think anybody can remember it being this early ever before. And obviously some of that's because practice rules have changed. It's basically the start of the season, and it feels weird that it's coming in September and not sometime in October, but effectively this is when you start to kind of, this is when the switch flips and you start to start thinking about basketball season. It's going to be interesting to see what all we get to see of Hoosier Hysteria, or I should say at Hoosier Hysteria. Do we get, do we get scrimmage? Do we get anything more than, you know, like sort of a glorified dunk competition and that sort of thing? Because it is, hopefully from a media perspective, the first chance to try and start answering some questions. You mentioned Team Media Day before Hoosier Hysteria this week. There will also be Big Ten Media Day in Chicago in just a couple of weeks. And then, you know, beginning of November is the beginning of basketball season. So it's coming up really fast. I know it's obviously a time of year when Indiana fans get really excited. And for this event in particular, not just what's on the court, but who's going to be there in terms of recruits and, you know, priority targets and people like that. But it, my friend, is basically basketball season at this point.
You know, that's a good point you bring up about what the makeup of Hoosier Hysteria will be like. Obviously, I've always thought that maybe the younger fans, the kids, enjoy the dunk contest and those sorts of things, and they're fun, and they give the players an opportunity to get hyped up as well. Of course, guys like you and I, and I think normal fans, enjoy some sort of scrimmage, and each coach can put their own touches on what Hoosier Hysteria includes. Obviously, Tom Crean had a way that we pretty much became used to expecting each Hoosier Hysteria. Archie Miller, this will just be year number two, so maybe we'll see some things a little different from last year. Do they put out the schedule normally beforehand and say that there's going to be like a 20-minute scrimmage? I know it's been different lengths over different years, and heck, they may not do a scrimmage at all, but do they put out any kind of a schedule, or is that something you get the night of? I can't remember.
Well, I mean, the specific details are always a little bit fluid, you know, because the reality is that that those guys, the coaches are going to be running recruiting. They're going to be running, you know, possibly practices or at least workouts the day of. And that sort of thing. it actually starts really early this year. It starts at 4. It's typically like a night game or a night event, but for whatever reason, they're starting it at 4. Doors will open at 2. I don't believe a full schedule has been released yet in terms of, you know, an actual schedule of events for the evening itself, or I guess the afternoon itself. But I would be surprised if we don't see most of the normal fare, if we don't see, you know, a three-point contest, a dunk contest, you know, possibly some sort of scrimmage portion, just because you want to give fans a reason to go. You want to give them something that they can, you know, to your point, some of them want to see the exciting stuff, the electric stuff, the highlights. Some fans, I think, really do go there hoping they see a scrimmage, hoping they can see, you know, Romeo Langford playing in an Indiana uniform for the first time, or they can see Jerome Hunter for the first time. They can get an idea of what the point guard battle looks like. What's Deron Davis look like? Is he active at all? He may not be. Well, you know, that's kind of one of my questions going into Hoosier Hysteria is Deron Davis ready for normal court activities yet after his Achilles injury last season? So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, kind of how it all lays out. But I would be surprised if we don't see pretty much the normal sort of schedule going in.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. He's the IU insider for the Star and kind enough to join us on Monday. Zach, thanks a lot. We'll do it again next week, and we'll know for sure what happened Saturday because we'll recap it with you on the program.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director and IHSAA Executive Board Member, after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back here, final segment of our Monday show, which means we have the opportunity to hear from Chad Gilbert. He's Charlestown's athletic director. He's also an IHSAA executive board member and proud supporter of all things sports here in Southern Indiana. Chad, great to chat on Mondays. You help make Mondays a little bit better as a day to start the week. And I guess this week should be a lot better because we've got some IU basketball activity. We've got practices starting tomorrow. We've got IU Media Day. Always fun to hear from Archie Miller and some of the players. That's coming up on Wednesday. And then, of course, the big event is Saturday, Hoosier Hysteria, Romeo Langford in action. Even though it's not a game, there'll be a scrimmage. There'll be some other things. His first true event where he'll be on the court at Assembly Hall. And that place will be packed, and it'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, it's going to be a great time of year. You know, next week I think is arguably one of the best times of year for sports because you've got Major League Baseball wrapping up, you've got NCAA baseball starting up, football's in full swing. That's a pretty good time of the year. But, you know, this week leading up to, you talked about Mondays. I'm glad Mondays are good for you because it's pouring down rain, Matt. We have soccer that we've got to get in. This is the last week for soccer. Tennis sectional starts this week. Soccer sectional starts next week, and we've got to get these matches in this week. So we are on the phones. The phones are hot today, Matt, trying to cancel games, move things around. So it's a crazy Monday here. But back on subject on Hoosier Hysteria, you know, what a great time. Kids are getting ready to go for real. The media day is going to be awesome. Things are kind of under wraps a little bit at IU, which tells me they're going to be pretty daggone good. But Hoosier Hysteria is going to be a lot of fun on Saturday night. But it's hard to believe that practice gets underway for real this week.
Yeah.
You know, time just goes by so quick. And with the local talent, the local kids in the area, look for a lot of excitement. I saw where Trey Kaufman over at Silver Creek was up at Purdue on an unofficial this weekend. I heard he's going to be at Hoosier Hysteria this Saturday. So that's great for Southern Indiana, great for Trey. Great for Silver Creek, you know, to get that exposure out there. But there's a lot of basketball to be played and a lot of excitement that's ahead of us.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert, my guest. You know, when I think about Hoosier Hysteria over the years, you know, for the general fan, it's big time because they get to maybe sit lower than they get to sit for a game. Or maybe they don't even get to go to any regular season games, but they go to Hoosier Hysteria. It's just a really good fan event. But when I think back about it over the years, it is also marked, and I'm not just talking about last year with Archie Miller, obviously, for many years, and it used to be called, I think, Midnight Madness back in the Bob Knight days when they would even do, at times, the practice at midnight, officially when you could actually start practices as a team. So the format's changed a little bit, but when I think back over the years, it's always marked a really, really big recruiting opportunity for Indiana. And I know Kentucky does the same thing with Big Blue Madness. Theirs is really established as well. Louisville's trying something different this year. They're next Friday going to do something in the evening on the court, outdoor court. They're going to put a temporary court in at 4th Street Live, and you'll be able to have some seating around the court or the upstairs out in front of some of the bars and restaurants. You can, I don't know if seating or hang over the rail and watch, but they're trying to create something that's special and neat with a new coach there. But when I think back, getting back to my point, when I think back to Hoosier Hysteria or Midnight Madness, it's always marked such a big recruiting night for Indiana. They've used that night for in-state players to bring them in. Romeo got walked across the court last year. A huge ovation, I should say, from the crowd there that night. They used that to their advantage a year ago. Over the years, it's been used to show in-state players how much they'll be beloved if they come to Indiana. And it's also been used to show out-of-state players that, wow, this is a little different than what I think of basketball at my high school or my local college or wherever they're from. And it's also a night where you don't just see the upper-level recruits like the Langfords and the Trace Jackson Davises and the Keon Brooks and those kind of guys, but you see young players. You see players that Indiana maybe is just beginning that process with, and who knows if they'll go on to materialize into a high-major legitimate prospect or not, but there'll be some of those kind of players around as well.
Oh, you hit it on the nail. It's a hype machine. It's a marketing thing. It's used to get people excited about the upcoming season. You know, I've seen Tom Izzo roll in a motorcycle before. I've seen Dean Smith dancing out there. Roy Williams dancing out there on Dean Smith Court. You know, so it's a lot of fun to do those things and to get people excited. But it gets, like you said, recruits excited about coming there. Future recruits, younger recruits. It gets you on the radar because there's so much stuff that these teams offer nowadays. It's incredible. You know, we don't talk much about Coach Mack over at Louisville, but I think he's ahead of the curve on a lot of stuff. I think he does a lot of things to get people excited. I think that's a great idea to be outside and do it on 4th Street Live. That'll get people excited about, because you want people in the seats, you want to put a good product out there, and you want athletes to want to play for your school. And those are good problems to have. That's what all these hype machines are all about. But at the end of the day, you got to put the ball in the basket.
Chad Gilbert, my guest. Understand that we may have a local player at Hoosier Hysteria from the area. You were telling me about that earlier.
Well, we talked a little bit about Trey Kaufman over there being at Purdue this weekend and him going to Hoosier Hysteria this coming weekend. Trey, you know, from my understanding, he's a 6'8 now. And, you know, if you remember, that's Matt Wren's nephew. And Matt Wren was a heck of a player, so he's got a great bloodline on that one, that he's an outstanding prospect, you know, for people to key in on. And if you get a chance to see Silver Creek and watch him play this year, I think he's somebody that a lot of schools are going to be watching and a lot of schools are going to take interest in the near future.
Chad Gilbert, my guest. Chad's the Charlestown Athletic Director, also an IHSA Executive Board member, very in tune with sports here in Southern Indiana. You know, getting into some high school stuff for just a moment. Football week 6 is now in the books. We're a few weeks away from the sectional, the tournament pairings being drawn out by the IHSA, and of course a couple weeks after that is when postseason play begins. We are rolling through the football season, and it's every year. It seems as if once football gets started, that things absolutely roll. It's just you think that school just started, and we're already heading into the back part of the high school football season. You at Charlestown have had an opportunity to see a player that's put up some terrific numbers almost every game this season. He got one of our game balls this week in segment one on the Hoosier Report today. But Marion Lukes, he continues to lead a lot of performers in the area with some outstanding numbers. And it's been an interesting year, not just from perspective of watching individual guys like him develop and really kind of find their way in leading their local, their school, their team, But it's also been interesting because I think we've got some teams that maybe have better postseason chances than what some of us gave them the thought they might have heading into the year. So we head into that real important part of the season, real important part of conference play. Sectional pairings are just around the corner. State tournament, we'll get started after that. And then, of course, before you know it, we're into basketball season. But very interesting time in high school football locally as well.
Marion put on another outstanding performance this Friday. We played at Scottsburg. Scottsburg has a really cool setup down there for their field. It's almost like a Death Valley setup. Stuff's new. And what's kind of interesting on there is their football program is funded by the football team, which is kind of an odd situation where their basketball their athletic department is not involved in that. So in other words, the football team, they get their gates. Now, what happens with that is they buy their own helmets, they buy their own uniforms, they take care of their reconditioning, they take care of the officials, where it's kind of a self-funded program. And I guess that was kind of one of the conditions that Scottsburg had as they brought their football team back. But our kids went out there, and they played great. But, you know, Kyle Mullins is a Charlestown graduate, and John Mastin, the former Charlestown coach for many, many years, outstanding football coach, but an even better PE teacher. Coach Mastin is the reason I went into PE teaching, because of him. Outstanding teacher. But to see those guys put that together, hats off to those guys. That's a big deal for those guys. And that gives kids another opportunity to play another sport and to be successful. And so, you know, hats off to those guys for doing that and putting that together for Scott County, for Scottsburg. And, you know, their athletic director, Jamie Lowry, he's second to none. He's all in for Scottsburg and does an outstanding job up there. And they just had a lot of hospitality, a lot of nice things going on up there. So hats off to them. But, again, the Pirates came in there. They did an excellent job. They took care of business. And they're looking forward to being focused this weekend when we play Corydon at home.
Chad Gilbert, my guest, talking Southern Indiana Sports. Chad is with me each Monday on the program. What else, Chad? I know we talked a little bit about college football earlier. Before you came on, Indiana loses obviously a very disappointing performance as well to go along with the loss Saturday, but there's still a lot of hope that they can become bowl eligible and have some postseason football in their sight coming up. Louisville not playing well. Kentucky gets a huge win. Been some really interesting college football things to follow locally here over the last couple weeks.
Kentucky looked great. That was an outstanding win for them. And Kentucky, you know, they just play a brutal schedule, and they're going to get banged up as they go along and lose some games along the way here. But they're having an excellent season. You know, they're going to continue to get better, continue to have a good season, but that SEC is just brutal. Indiana, look for Indiana to come back and bounce back off this loss. I think Indiana plays an exciting brand of football. I think Tom Allen does a great job up there with the Hoosiers. Louisville, they may not get another win. I don't know. I hate to say that, but it's going to be tough. You know, they're really struggling at this point in the season. But it's, you know, that's what you play the games for. You got to go out there and you got to compete. But one who's flying under the radar, who's gotten beat early on, is Purdue. Got a big win over the weekend. So, you know, they're setting themselves up to be great games. You always like that last week of college football with the rivalry game. So that Purdue-Indiana game could be one, you know, to circle on the calendar. But it's an exciting time of year with football playoffs around the corner. You know, you look for New Albany. You know, New Albany had another tough loss this weekend, but I think they're going to be ready for the playoffs to make some noise. They've got a lot of talent over there coming back through. You think Seymour snuck up on Brownstown this weekend. I think Brownstown is an excellent team, has a chance to do some stuff in the tournament. But when you start getting into classes, things kind of shake out a little bit different. It'll be interesting how teams fare when tournament time starts.
Chad Gilbert, my guest. Chad is the Charlestown AD and the IHSA Executive Board member representing our area. Chad, great to catch up with you every Monday. Always kind of a peek into what happened the past weekend and what's to come this week. You're right, a great week is ahead. Of course, from an IU basketball perspective, I've mentioned why a couple times on the program today. From a general sports perspective, you've got to throw in, and you mentioned this to me over the weekend, you got to throw in playoff baseball is just around the corner as well. As college football continues to intensify, we move on in the high school season, college basketball and high school basketball inches closer. So there's going to be a lot of fun weeks ahead of us. We're getting into a fun time of the year.
Oh, no question about it, Matt. And thanks for all you do for Southern Indiana sports. The Hoosier Hills Hoops League started off great. We had a great weekend up here. Hope continue to make that role and continue to be better and continue to be something positive for kids to go out and be part of. So, you know, I appreciate you reaching out to kids on that part.
Absolutely. And if you haven't seen Charlestown's gymnasium, we've talked about this some in the past. It's a tremendous, tremendous place, not just the main gym, but the auxiliary gym. You can run four courts at a time. You get a lot of kids playing at a lot of different levels there as well. Chad, thanks for the chat. We'll do it again next week, and always fun.
Man, I appreciate the run. Stay dry today.
Yes, absolutely. You too, Coach. That will wrap things up for us here on this Monday show. Thanks so much for being with us today. Also, don't forget podcast. Always want to hit that with you because we're getting more and more listeners checking us out that way. If you miss a show, you miss a segment, you can always go back and check it out on SoundCloud. They have an app as well as the Apple Podcast app as well. Both free, both easy. You can listen to us daily if that's how you need to or how you choose to. You can also, for SoundCloud, point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. We put all of our shows up there. And also a early reminder, we'll be talking some more about this later in the week, but we're going to do a special show Thursday night out at Zaxby's in New Albany. It'll be a Jeffersonville versus New Albany football preview show, a rivalry night show, we call them, out at Zaxby's. We'll have the coaches from both teams. We'll have some of the key players from both teams. Lee Kelly will join me, and we'll get you all set for a big game. Week 7 has some rival games involved in high school football. New Albany Jeff on this side of the river, Trinity St. X on the other side of the river. It's always a big week, and we'll get started Thursday night with that at 7 o'clock here on the Big X. Have a great Monday. As Chad said, try to stay dry. It has absolutely just been pounding with rain all day long. Try to stay dry. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 o'clock with Greg Doyle, Mike Pegram, and more right here on the Hoosier Report. Until then, have a great day. I'll catch you tomorrow right here on the Big X Sports Radio.